By faith, any situation we face can become an opportunity for God to reveal His love. Today on The Believer's Voice of Victory, Kenneth Copeland and Jerry Savelle help us discover God's purpose for abundance in every area of our lives.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast today. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Join me again today in welcoming Brother Jerry Savelle.
Thank you, sir.
Jerry, I'm saying this before God and a whole lot of people out here. Now, I ain't promising you nothing. I ain't going that far. But I'm putting forth an effort, let me put it like that, to get back in here. I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut today. No, I can't.
I can't do that. Watch it. You can't keep
you
your
got
mouth
in
shut.
That 12th chapter of Romans yesterday. And, whoa, it just rose. I mean, you preached me up, got me so happy and thrilled over all of this. I can't keep quiet.
Well, you're not supposed to. Out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaking.
Oh, man, I'm telling you what. Beyond and above, it's Bible, it's God. Even when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, has He made us alive with Christ Jesus, raised us up together, mm-hmm. and made us sit together with Him. Where? Yeah, in heavenly places. Oh, I done preached myself happy again today.
Praise God.
Jerry, let's get back over in that 12th chapter of Romans. This is so rich.
Well, let's remember the prayer from John 17 again. We are not of this world. That's what Jesus said in that prayer to His Father. He said, Father, I've given them Your word, and they are not of this world, even as I am not of this world. So that tells us right there in the prayer of Jesus that we don't have to be conformed to this world anymore. We don't have to be bound by its limitations. We don't have to be controlled by the fear that controls them. And so here Paul says that the way you keep that from happening to you is in Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Notice this, no longer being conformed to this world is the result of the renewing of the mind. And the renewing of the mind is based entirely upon quality time in the Word. I like the Phillips translation. It says it this way, don't let this world around you squeeze you into its mold.
And that's good.
Don't let the world around you squeeze you into its mold. So that tells me that it's my choice, that I don't have to live like this world if I don't want to. I don't have to go through all their crises if I don't want to. Like I heard you say one time, man, they've had two or three epidemics and me and Gloria didn't even know anything about.
Well, yeah. And I sure ain't going to catch the flu off a chicken. I mean, that's stupid.
Like that guy said his friend had the Hong Kong flu. And he said, I know that man ain't never been out of Georgia. How'd he get the Hong Kong flu?
Hong Kong flu? From a hog.
No. But here he says that we don't have to be conformed to this world, that we don't have to allow this world to squeeze us into its mold, that we don't have to have their confinements, their restrictions, and their limitations. Now,
is that mold fear?
Well, sure it is.
That's what their mold is.
What's the currency, if you please, in the kingdom of God? Faith. And what's the currency in the world?
Fear.
I mean, God said that which Job so greatly feared came upon him. Well, if what you so greatly fear will come upon you, why is it so unreasonable to think that which I so greatly faithed came upon me?
Yeah.
I'm just the faith and fear are opposite forces.
Well, fear, we know for a fact, not only through science, we know it in experience. Anybody does. Fear will make you sick.
Oh, yeah.
It makes you do things that you know ordinarily wouldn't do. It'll stop your mind. I had fear paralyze me one time. And I knew when it came on, I wasn't born again at that time. I had sense enough to shout out to God to help me. But I knew I was really in trouble. I could feel it. Jerry, it's crawling up my legs. Mm-hmm. I was in a situation that I did not know how to handle. Yeah. And it's coming up my legs. I could think what to do, but I couldn't do it. But if I would talk out loud to myself like I was instructing mm-hmm. myself, then I could do it.
Yeah.
But I knew, and this was coming up, I knew if it ever got to my head, it'd paralyze me.
Yeah.
So I just kept talking out loud. I was talking like as my real early days flying, and I mm-hmm. got into a situation I shouldn't have got into it, but I did. Now I hollered, God, get me out of here. Mm-hmm. But when I noticed the louder I talked, like I was the instructor talking to me, it
yeah.
stopped.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's when I became so aware that what fear would do to you. I remembered that then. It wasn't too many months after that
yeah.
that Gloria and I got saved. Well, I thought, you know what? Now, if fear will do that, faith be just the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
In that situation, faith would enhance my thinking. Faith would calm me down and make me peaceful. And if faith starts coming up on me, it's not going to paralyze me, it's going to free me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I didn't know anything yet about faith much, and about the Bible, I had sense enough to know that.
Yeah, sure. Well, you see that situation in Mark's writings, where a little woman with the issue of blood came to Jesus, said, if I but touch his clothes, I shall be made whole. But Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, had already told Jesus that he wanted him to come lay his hands on his little daughter that she might be healed.
Yeah.
Well, while Jesus is ministering that little woman, the messenger came and told Jairus, your daughter's dead. But Jesus immediately turned to him, and you could say it this way, don't be conformed to the world.
Yeah.
What did he say? Fear yeah. not.
Fear not. Stop the fear.
See, what the world would have done right then, the way the world thinks, the person that is totally controlled by the way the world
that's
operates,
the end of it.
Then they would have panicked, yeah. you know, and that had been the end of the story. The little girl would have remained dead. But Jesus immediately turned to him and said, fear not. In other words, don't conform to the world here. There's one translation, a Ben Campbell Johnson paraphrase translation, and I love it. It says, Jesus turned to Jairus and said, don't panic. You know,
yeah,
don't panic.
Don't panic.
And in other words, don't allow this fear to grip you to the point that you forget everything that you've learned. You forget all spiritual law. You forget everything you know about the Word of God. Don't panic. And Jesus continued to minister to that little woman. In this paraphrase, it says, Jesus turned to Jairus and said, don't panic. I'll be with you in just a moment. Woman, you're whole. Let's go, Jairus.
Oh.
Don't you love that? I mean, just don't conform to the world here now. We can still turn this situation around if you won't conform to the world.
I'm seeing what you're gleaning from this. I've experienced this, and I'm seeing it really clear now. That moment in Jairus's life, when they reported to him that your mm-hmm. daughter's already dead, don't bother the master anymore.
Yeah.
Listen to what that guy said. Don't bother the rabbi anymore. Your daughter's already dead.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in the mind of that messenger, there can't nobody do anything.
Right.
There's not anything in the world's mind that will give you any idea that you can, that there's anything left. There's no hope
yeah.
left. She's already dead, man.
Right.
I mean, you know, ain't nothing that preacher can do for you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus turned around there and said, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop the fear. Don't
right.
panic. You stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
And he did. He yeah. didn't say anything more. He didn't do anything more. He quietened himself. And he obviously made a decision right then to do what Jesus told him.
Oh,
to.
Yeah. And apparently you can assume that the thought came to Jairus. To
you
give
know
up.
It did.
Well, sure. I mean, this is his daughter. He's believing that Jesus is going to come there and lay his hands on her and she's going to be okay. But then when he hears the news, she's dead. You know the thought came to him, that this stuff doesn't work. We waited too late. If I could have got that little woman hadn't interfered and stopped us from getting there quicker. I mean, all these thoughts.
And then get bitter at Jesus for stopping and fooling with her.
But the fact that Jesus
told him,
don't fear. Fear not. Keep believing. See, that is totally contrary to the way that world operates. The world is going to fear, and whatever little bit of hope they did have, they're going to let go of it.
Jerry, you know, Jesus is living on a different level.
And he's showing Jairus how to get there.
He's calling him up here with him.
Yeah.
Leave that down there.
Mm-hmm. That fear,
that
hopelessness,
wow.
That unbelief, that doubt, wow. That's all on a lower level. And we're not of this world. So we don't have to live in that.
It's all there all the time.
Yeah.
It wasn't a matter of having to call it down from glory or something. I mean, Jesus was right there. It is there all the time. He's standing in the same road that Jairus is.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's on the same level, but he's not. He's mm-hmm. conformed to a higher level. They both walk right down the same road, but when Jesus got there, things changed.
Oh, yeah. Raise that little girl from the dead.
Son.
And that's above and beyond.
Isn't
get your dead daughter
right?
back.
What? Isn't that right?
That's above and beyond kind of living there. I think another thing that's important here, too, is associations have everything to do with this. That messenger, he didn't know any better.
No.
You know.
He's just telling him what to
do. He's just telling him the facts, as he knew them. But a lot of times, the people that you hang out with can be the very one that can keep you on that low level, that lower plane of living. You know, sometimes it can be a best friend. It can be a relative that feels like it's their call in life to keep you down on that level with them.
Jerry, you know? When they got home, his family was in there
mm-hmm.
just throwing a fit.
Yeah.
Well, they're grieving. And what the Bible called a tumult, that it's just chaos in there. They're screaming and grieving, and going on. But notice the change in them when Jesus walked in there and didn't join in on that, mm-hmm. and neither did Jairus.
Mm-hmm.
When they walked in there, Jesus said, she's just asleep.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, they're not grieving anymore. They're laughing him to scorn.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of agreeing with him and saying, sir, do you know something we don't know?
Mm-hmm.
But Jairus here is agreeing with Jesus. He's made up his mind, fear not going to rule me. I'm not going to think like I'm going to stay with him.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever he says, I'm going to do it. It don't look good, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
Because he did have enough of the word. He's leader of the synagogue. He had enough of the covenant in
well,
him to respond.
Well, he'd also just seen what Jesus did for that little woman.
Oh, he did, didn't he? Yeah. Oh, he had what Jesus taught that woman.
Mm-hmm.
Your faith made you whole.
Yeah.
Yeah, he heard that. Yeah. That's working in him, too.
Mm-hmm.
Praise God.
Mm-hmm.
But they, all of a sudden, they're not so busy grieving that they didn't have time to put him down and ridicule him and start laughing at him over this.
Yeah.
Well, what happened to their grief in the middle of all this? Now they're just mean.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is going through Jairus' mind? I mean, there's his mother and daddy-in-law. There's his mother and daddy. Uncle Fred and Aunt whatever her name was. Oh, and they all screaming and hollering.
Mm-hmm.
And there's them two Pharisees from up the road there and so on and so on. A room probably full of them. And he knew every one of them in there.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them go to his synagogue he's in the jam here.
Oh, yeah.
And if he had conformed in his thinking, said, dear God, if this don't work, I have had it at home. Look, these are my kids. Well, I got
his job's on the line
people.
Too, man.
Yeah.
He's about to lose his papers.
Everything, because he's even associated with this man. This bunch mm-hmm. over here going to get mad at him.
Mm-hmm.
All of that is just bombarding him.
Yeah.
But he stayed steady.
He stayed steady.
But Jesus He ran them all off. Then he's probably thinking, I have had it. That is the end of me. That is the end of my whole life. My mom-in-law is going to kill me.
Oh, yeah.
And what's my wife thinking about this? All of this conforming, fear-based way of thinking, it's all there.
Yeah.
Somebody had to make a choice and decide, I don't care. I don't care what they think. They can laugh.
Lay it all on the line.
Lay it all. That's a good way of saying it. Mm. Lay it all on the line for Jesus and the Word of God.
And you did it, and I did it at some point back there when we first started.
Yeah.
Lay it all on the line.
I told the Lord, I said, I don't care what they think. I didn't care what they thought when I was in the ditch out there. Mm. And I sure don't care what they think now. I'm going for this if they all laugh. I'm a believer. I'm not a doubter, and I don't care who knows it. Mm. And I'm hollering just about as loud as I could.
Mm-hmm.
It did something for me.
I think you could say when you're not tumulting and everybody else is tumulting, you are no longer conformed. When you're out screaming, when everybody else is screaming.
I don't believe I joined the tumult today.
Yeah.
Hey! Oh, that's wrong.
Well,
man.
That's getting to that place again where Paul said, none of these things move me.
None of these things.
That's probably one of the most exciting things about my walk of faith is getting to the place where I can say that
none of
and
these
know
things move me.
That it's not just a cliche I'm reading out of the Bible, but I am not moved.
They brought in a whole hand, a stack full of unpaid bills to Smith Wigglesworth. He was preaching a meeting, and he turned all that stuff over to his, his son-in-law, I think. Anyway, it's a member of his family. And he was handling all that, and they didn't have the money to pay him yet, and they're in the middle of the meeting. Well, a guy come in there and handed them all to Smith. What are you going to do about these? And they said it was you had to hold them with two hands.
Yeah.
He said, gruff song guy. Mm-hmm. What is all this? And he saw what was just built. He said, and just threw them all on the ground and said, I'll roll the care of that over on the Lord. That's his business. Turn around and walk out.
Yeah.
Well, now that landlord don't know what he's talking about, and neither did anybody else. But he wouldn't touch that care. Mm. He would not allow that to get on his mind while he's got people to minister to. And, of course, that kind of faith, Jesus did take care of it. And he took care of all the finances. But that landlord didn't know what he was saying. And Wigglesworth didn't care whether he knew or not.
And the bills got paid.
Bills got paid.
I was with Brother Sumrall one time and watched him do that. I flew up there to preach in his church. And before I got there, their television station had burned down.
Oh, I remember that.
And so this was like a week before I was coming up there to preach. And so one of his boys picked me up at the airport and said, Brother Jerry, did you hear our television station burn down? I said, no. And I said, well, what did Brother Sumrall say?
It burned while Lester was out of town.
He was out of town. And he flew back in. And the boys were a little bit hesitant about telling Daddy the station burned down, you know. And they went and picked him up at the airport. He's sitting in a car, and they're trying to build up courage to tell him. And finally, one of them said, Daddy, television station burned down. You want to go see? He said, no. What I want to look at ashes for? Build it back.
That's all he had to say.
Yeah. In other words, none of these things moved me.
They didn't move me.
And they built it back. They kept going and just kept preaching the word 24 hours a day on television. But that was his attitude.
And they did build it back.
Yeah,
they built it back a whole lot better than it was.
But isn't that a whole lot better? No, what I want to go look at ashes for? Build it back. That's a none of these things move
Jerry,
me kind
when,
of
when we
mindset.
Were build, when we were building our main headquarters building here, and of course we set out, we laid it before God, we're building this thing, and we're not going in debt for it. Well, it took us a long time to build it. We just built it as, we didn't take money out of what we were doing in ministry and in those days, radio and or very early television ministry and so forth. We didn't take money out of that. We just, If there was money earmarked for building, we used that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we just believe God and do it. Well, it came down to the point one day. I called out here, and it was, they had the walls up, but nothing finished on the inside. Mm-hmm. I called out there and I said, sweep that thing out and clean it up good on the inside and go home. Send everybody home. Mm-hmm. What? I sent them home. How can we do that? Did you hear what I said? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, just do it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So they just swept everything out and locked her up and told everybody. They said, well, what are we going to do? Well, if Brother Copeland ever decides to start it again, we'll call you. Well, I just going by what the Lord told me to do because it started getting on me about it. And I said, I'm rolling all the care of this over on you, and I'm not going back out there. Well, I got up one morning and I was shaving, getting ready to go to our other office over there. And the word of the Lord came to me. He said, I want you to start that building back today and don't stop. Mm-hmm. There was a guy called later on that day and said, I got a truckload of sheetrock. Where am I supposed to put it? We didn't order any sheetrock. Mm-hmm. I don't know to this day where that sheetrock came from. Huh. He said, get this off my truck. I got another load just like it I got to go get. Huh. Well, we called everybody. And somebody said to me, Brother Copeland, how long did it stay vacant? I said, 8 months. Oh, I know that is heavy on you. I said, nah, it wasn't heavy on me. Mm-hmm. Well, why not? I said, I didn't go out there. I never looked at it for 8 months. I forgot the thing is out there. See, you can do that when you don't have debt.
Yeah.
And so, because I'd rolled all the care, I would not allow it to get back in my mind and conform to the way the world acts when they can't finish something. They get all nervous and behind. Why do I care?
Yeah.
So, and that's what I said all the time. Because I rolled a care over on the Lord, I wouldn't go back and get that, have that thought, and I'd say out loud, what do I care? I'll finish it whenever God says.
Yeah.
Well, he spoke to me that morning. And man, here we went. And it just came right on in there. Somebody said, how long take you to build that building? 6.5 years. You could have built it in 2 easy. Yeah, but then I'd have paid for 30.
Yeah.
You know?
When it was done, it was
done.
Yeah,
done, it a done, Bubba. And that's life on a higher level.
Oh, yeah.
We out of time.
Above and beyond.
Above and beyond. Brother Jerry and I will be back in just a moment.
Come to these exciting meetings. Come to the Behind the Mission Weekend, April 16th and 17th at the Grand Hyatt Atlanta in Atlanta, Georgia. A Behind the Mission Weekend with Stephen Kelly Swisher is June 25th and 26th in Lombard, Illinois at the Westin Lombard Yorktown Center. The Copeland Family Meeting in Long Beach, California is July 8th through 10th at the Long Beach Convention Center in Long Beach, California. For more information, go to kcm.org. Nobody wants to settle for second best. You don't have to. God can take you from the ordinary to the extraordinary. Dr. Jerry Savelle's teaching series, The Above and Beyond Lifestyle, is an inspiring teaching that gives hope for your future. No matter what is happening in the world, God loves you and has given you His Word. He is limitless, and His Word is without boundaries. You can have success, not failure, victory, not defeat, health, not sickness, and blessing, not lack.
The best advice you will ever receive for how to live well in this chaotic world is going to come from the Holy Spirit.
This teaching will help you renew your mind, keep your dreams alive, and break down the barriers to God's above and beyond blessing. Don't settle for the ordinary when you can have the extraordinary. You can live an over-the-top lifestyle where you are blessed to be a blessing and show the world how good your God really is. Order The Above and Beyond Lifestyle by Jerry Savelle. This brand new CD set is available now for just $15. For a product discount and 48-hour processing, order your set online at kcm.org. Other ways to order include calling our toll-free number, 800-600-7395, or when you write to Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. For this and other KCM products, go to kcm.org.
The Above and Beyond Lifestyle. Jerry, I'm so impressed and so blessed with this. And it's scriptural flow. It's just what it's all about. Mm-hmm. And so, three CDs. You need to get hold of these because it's with messages like this that you go over it and over it. Listen to these and outline it as you go. Make notes as you go. And then you can take those outlines and you can begin to teach them to friends and so this is the way ministries are born,
yeah,
man.
Right.
It's the way you and I both got started.
That's the way we got started.
Well, we had a great big old reel to reel. And think about this. You can put all this on your iPod, stick it in your pocket, man.
Isn't that great?
Oh, all the great things, but it's still no good unless you do it. So order it, do whatever you need to do to get it, and get it into your spirit, into your mouth, and into your ears. And then watch and see what happens next. Let me remind you before we leave the air today about our Partner Service Center. It serves our partners and friends. It is a major part of this ministry. I would call it the major part of this ministry. For instance, if you need prayer, call the prayer minister's call number. I'm telling you, we've had some awesome, awesome results out of this. Mm-hmm. These are people, this is not some people we don't even know. These people are right here on this property, and they are trained, and they're people of faith, and they'll pray with you. And our offices overseas, they have people that, yeah, that I'm telling you, they know their business. They know what they're doing. So, 24 hours a day now.
I was walking through there the other day, and several of your prayer ministers are graduates of my Bible school.
Yes, they are. Absolutely, including my daughter, Kelly.
Yeah.
I mean, man, and now they know their business. Praise God. Amen. So believe God. Take a stand. Get involved. Get yourself involved in these things. 2010 is our year. Have faith in God. What are we going to do, Brother Jerry?
Have faith. In God.
We see you tomorrow. Until then, remember, Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us today on the Believer's Voice of Victory. Visit our website at kcm.org. There you can purchase today's broadcasts on DVD or CD or a copy of today's product. Kenneth Copeland Ministries has a resource of study tools designed to give you hope and help you find the answers you're looking for. You can also call our prayer line, 800-600-7395, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Have faith in God and walk in the blessing today.